Gold 905. Makan Kaki.
With Denise. So good.
It's Gold 905. Sounds good. Feels good. On this tasty Thursday, we are raring to go with a brand new season of your feel-good food guide, Makan Kakis. But what is the show without my foodie friends? So today, I have to introduce you to a brand new Makan Kaki. He is none other than celebrity chef Melvin Lee. Hello.
Hello, guys. Hey, everybody. How are you?
Melvin, I haven't seen you in a while, not since we finished filming this new series. We're very excited about it because, I mean, we went all over Singapore eating different foods. It's going to be on Channel 5. It's an upsized version of Makan Kaki. So we had a lot more time to explore and talk to the owners. By the way, this is the Heritage Edition. So we got to learn a lot of history of the eateries. So before we get down to recommending Makan, let's find out a little bit more about you real quick.
All right. So hi, guys. I'm Chef Melvin. Yeah, like, people call me Celebrity Chef because I pop onto your color screen TV once in a while. And I do a lot of travel log, doing food, introducing cultures overseas. And yeah, I do cook for a few celebrities. But my main is to interact with audience on TV, on road shows, and also cooking demos at events like Food Hotel Asia. And yeah, currently I'm actually expanding abroad and opening restaurants overseas. And yeah, I have a little farm in Thailand also.
So you're a chef, you're a farmer, you're on TV, you host your own shows. Is there nothing you cannot do?
I'm quite blessed. This year, I got a chance to cameo in a movie called King of Hawkers, and I did it myself. So that was quite fun.
Hey, wait, is King of Hawkers already out?
Yes, in cinema, so it's out already.
Wow, so you can add movie star to your resume.
No. I'm just a cameo. Like, I think I probably got in total 10 minutes, 10 times, yeah.
But anyway, Chef, yes. Cooking is at the heart of your passions. What is your specialty?
I was classically trained Italian cuisine for 10 years of my career when I was much younger. Then after that, I realized that I'm Asian. So I need to go back to my roots and know where I'm from. So I started traveling 8 Asian countries, and I had this show called Accidental Chef, which a lot of people know me by. After that, they inspired me to focus more back here, like Asia, what can we offer? And to my amazement, there was so much to showcase. There's so much good produce that, you know, we were not exposed to. So then I set on a mission to kind of like go into agriculture. And so I don't really feel that I have a cuisine that I'm good at. I'm probably better at product knowledge and how to bring out the best flavor of a particular ingredient from a particular region.
That's not all you do. Actually, you also are very heavily involved in youth outreach.
Yeah, I always try to find time to work, pursue my passion, pursue my vision in life. Then second comes my folks. Then last but not least, my folks always remind me that it comes full circle. Whenever you're blessed, it's good to bless others also. So when I have free time, I go to underprivileged kids, different organizations, and I actually do small-scale cooking classes with them, which they learn how to cook like macaroni and cheese, spaghetti and meatballs, you know, make sandwiches. For these kids, you might think, chef, sandwich only what? Yeah, they can buy from 7-Eleven. But you don't understand the look in their eyes when they complete a sandwich and they taste it and it's nice and they know that they made it themselves. This kind of encouragement, motivation and self-assurance is very precious to these kids because they don't have like a mentor in their family or parents that are around to guide them. So they're always being judged, always wanting to be accepted. So small little things like achieving a nice looking and tasty sandwich that they made by themselves, wow, that really reminds me of the core of us being humans, you know. It's really to bless others, share food, laugh, create memories, rather than always trying to chase the next pot of gold. Yeah, so I do a lot of charity work, not because I want to give back. It's also from them, they give me something to keep on going on, you know. And I think more people should be encouraged to do this one, at least once. I'm pretty sure a huge majority of people will feel driven to want to share more and bless these kids. Yeah.
I think that connecting with other human beings on a real level is what keeps us grounded. Whether you're a celebrity chef or not, you know, you reach out to the youth, but I would say, I have it on good authority that actually you're quite the auntie killer.
I know what to say, I know what to do, which will make them open up and be more accepting of what I want to sell them.
But okay, if people did want to connect with you and see all the stuff that you actually get up to.
Oh, yes, you can check me out on Instagram. My handle is Chef Melvin with a V-Y-N. Mm. Then my surname is L-E-V, Chef Melvin Lee. Mm. Or you can go Facebook and search for Asian Food Soldier, food with a F-O-O-D.
Okay, nice, nice. Yes. Which leads us to this. You know, for my show, Makan Kaki, is usually I get my foodie friends to recommend somewhere to go and try. But I thought I'd go easy on you. Ease you into the whole situation. I took you. For this first episode, I decided to take you to actually a throwback to my childhood. It was really fun for me to watch you experience it for the first time, like you were a child.
Oh, you're talking about shashlik, is it?
Yes, shashlik restaurant. What an 80s throwback. Like I said, I remember going with my parents. That was like a special treat, you know, if you're good, a special occasion. Then you get to go and have a fancy meal, Western style fine dining. It was really nice to be able to revisit it, knowing that, you know, they've been through so many ups and downs. They closed momentarily in 2015. And then what was so heartwarming was the sons of the captain, Uncle Tan, decided to revive the restaurant. So since 2016, Shashlik has been back up and running at the same location at Far East Shopping Centre. What were your initial impressions?
I was so surprised, you know, because during my time, I think like the high-end sort of fine dining is like Jack's Place, you know?
Yeah.
So when I walked in there, it was like traveling back in time, and there's like the table side service and all that kind of thing. I was like, this is what you see on movies, you know? You don't like really experience that now.
Yeah.
Unless you go to the state where they have like long history of that one restaurant and steakhouse, you know?
Yeah.
When you brought me to Shashlik, then I found out one of the sons came back and revived his business. And he brought in his brother, who is the chef, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And he's so cool. Because when we went in the kitchen, he was so excited to share with us his recipes and how he prepared the old school dishes.
Okay, and then you have the retro carpet bag steak is what Chef Derek showed us how to make in the kitchen.
Yeah, this is like serve and turn way back. And it's one huge chunk of good quality steak. And he made a hole in that and he put a fresh oyster in the steak, wrapped in bacon.
Yeah.
Wow, all three things are my favorite, you know.
Me
right?
too.
And you can't forget about the sauces that he makes in, yeah. The mushroom sauce, the gravy. Wow, my goodness.
It was so wonderful because I think what really stood out for me, being able to enter the kitchen of Shashlik restaurant and watch them prepare, is that Shashlik is very well known for their Russian influence food, Eastern European centric, yet with a Hainanese twist. So what made me giggle and to see this very uniquely Singaporean marriage of two types of cuisines was to see him actually season and marinate the carpet bag steak with soy sauce. Do you remember that?
Yeah. I mean, it was so crazy. I was like, you told me Russian, I don't know where once soy sauce came out. Okay, Chef Derek also said he must use a particular brand of soy sauce because that's what his dad told him to use also.
Mm.
And that's what they've been using since way back when they had Hainanese food.
Yeah.
My mom also uses it at home because of the quality.
Yes.
So then you can see his understanding of the recipes are way back till now. He don't want to change anything. And they are letting the younger generation that come and try this restaurant, you understand that back in the day, right, they are already using it. So Asian food and Western or European food is not so far off because Singapore is such a melting pot, right?
Yeah.
And this is one place where you can really taste the first fusion food in Singapore, I would say.
I think that also that kind of fusion was encapsulated in the borscht soup, which is really one of their signatures, another Russian classic. But I mean, you wouldn't find the version they serve at Shashlik anywhere in Russia, I don't think. Borscht is actually a sour beet soup. And what's happened is over the years, being, you know, filtered through the hands of Hainanese chefs here in Singapore, the version of borscht soup is,
I would say, it's like, if you need something to relate to, it's like the Italian minestrone soup. For all those people like myself, I don't like beet, like, don't worry, go there and try this soup. Because although there's beetroot inside, you don't really taste the grassiness of raw beetroot. It's still for long hours. It's so nice, it's so tender. And then it's like a very heartwarming kind of soup. It's like comfort food.
Yeah, because they've got succulent little chunks of beef inside. There's potato, there's cabbage, there's carrot as well. So it's like a hearty meat and vegetable soup. And then they had these traditional Hainanese style sweet butter rolls to dip?
Honestly, I think the bread kind of stole the show. I don't know about you, but for me, I mean, being a chef, right, I can make a vegetable soup, but I am pretty sure I cannot make that bun.
Yeah.
Wow, that bun was so fluffy, and it's like, ayo, it's like a hug to your heart, no? And the butter, wow, remember not that she just went crazy with the butter.
So like, much salted butter with a sweet, fluffy roll. It's just simple, but it really hits the spot. So what else did we try that really stood out for you?
Okay, there was this hot plate where it came out like a kebab, right?
Oh!
Then after that, there was this side salad.
Yes, so that was their namesake shashlik, which essentially means grilled beef on skewers. So yeah, big hunk of tenderloin and it's sizzling. Alan, who's one of the brothers, pro tip, he said that you put some butter on the hot plate and then it will further enrich the beef, even though the beef isn't served with any sauce because it really doesn't need it. It's just so beautifully seasoned and then you get that pure beef quality coming through. And then also remember when the side salad had a little thin roll of cucumber, and the other pro tip was you unfurl the cucumber on the hot plate and put your beef on top so that it doesn't overcook, but it keeps the beef warm.
Yeah, that one was so smart, you know. But after that, we took a little bite of that cucumber. The cucumber was quite nice, also, because you know, I mentioned to you, I don't like cucumber.
That's right. I just don't understand who doesn't like cucumbers. Wow, I mean, it is such an unoffensive vegetable. It just tastes of nothing.
There are no people out there like me. They also don't like cucumber because it's just like grass and water. But I have to say, after you put the cucumber on the hot plate below the beef, and it soaks up all the butter, all the juice of the beef. Wow, that cucumber is nice. That one I eat. That one is good.
Okay.
Yeah, but also interestingly, the side salad has a hard-boiled egg, which I thought like, this is like my prep meal for gym like that. You got a hunk of beef, you got butter, then you got hard-boiled egg. Wow, then I was like, this is such a good dish.
Yeah.
I like it so much.
For me, I was surprised because I actually ended up really enjoying another dish that was set on fire.
The flambé, the thing?
Yes, the blue fire ribs. To me, the epitome of 80s dining was when you have the tableside service and they set fire to everything.
I don't know what it is with these kind of old school diners, but they need to flambé everything and very dramatic. There's a lot of theatrics to it. Then it's like you can watch, you can smell.
Yeah,
it's all part of the experience, I guess.
Yes, fall off the bone tender pork rib, a giant slab with this Hainanese style sweet and sour glaze. They poured rum over it, set it on fire. It was really, really delicious. And then we found out the reason why their ribs are so good is because Chef Derek used to be head chef for 20 years at Tony Roma's.
Yeah, so he shared with us that he was like one of the pioneer chefs that actually got the recipe down to a T, and he brought over to Shashlik and came over to help the brother with the business. He wanted to elevate it from basic and going back to basic of the restaurant. Wow, it was so good.
I mean, that rum, the alcohol mainly burns off, so you get this aroma, and then it's caramelized, so you've got this deep, dark, sticky kind of thing. And so that to me was a surprising dish. I wasn't expecting to be served ribs set on fire. I was expecting other things to be set on fire because actually, once we started the main course, that was it. Everything was set on fire, right?
Yeah. Then even the dessert, right? The dessert was set on fire.
I mean, flambé is really what Shashlik is known for. So yes, the baked Alaska is such a crowd pleaser.
Again, you are served with the theatrics, all the flambé, all the fire. And yeah, for that dish, it must have the fire. Why? Because with the flambé, it actually burns the little tip of the meringue, and that gives it a smoky, caramelized aroma to that very sweet meringue. Good. That's all I can say. Good.
I don't even have a sweet tooth, but I was like, I gotta have more of this. Just to describe a baked Alaska for those who are uninitiated, if you know what beef Wellington is, this is like the dessert version lah. So inside you've got ice cream, and then it's encased in a very thin layer of sponge cake, and then all of that is coated in this meringue, and then they set fire to it. And so you've got the outside, which is a little bit crisp, a little bit marshmallowy, and you cut through, you get the sponge, and then you get the creamy cold center, which was such a treat because you get all sorts of different mouthfeels, different textures, different temperatures.
I think at Shashlik they do it really well.
And to finish it all off, I think we should honorably mention and pay tribute really to one of the, if not the oldest, long-serving waitstaff.
The uncle, right?
83-year-old Fu Sik Chuan. And one of his skills is to finish off your meal with a tableside, again, set on fire beverage.
The Irish coffee, right?
Yeah.
And also nice because of the effort and the other things that he add in, which is from being of the
Irish whiskey. Yeah, for me, it was just watching his years of experience. He has like asbestos hands. He was just handling the glass.
And it was so hot. And I looked at him, I said, I'm so hot, you did it. He said, years of doing it, you don't feel the heat anymore.
Yeah.
You know, some people will laugh at that statement, but in my heart, being a chef, I would die for a service staff that can give me these many years of loyalty and dedicate these many years of his life for my establishment. He won't be a staff anymore. He's like family, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the vibe that you get at Shashlik. Everybody is my family.
Mm.
Everybody is respected. Everybody is taken care of. And it's something about the aura of that restaurant. They just invite you in, see you, get to know you, and hopefully you understand their concept and their belief as a food establishment, and you come back and you tell your friends about it.
Mm. I mean, we throw about these words quite casually, but yeah, nostalgia number one is a really strong pull for me, you know, having the taste of these retro dishes I remember from my childhood, but also being surprised by actually how delicious they still are how many decades later. Also, it's the history of Shashlik and how the new joint custodians, the sons of Uncle Tan, the head waiter from the original Shashlik, that they have picked up the torch, holding it up for as long as they can. I think that's really, really admirable.
I think it's very brave of them also, because at this time and age, in our industry, I have to be very honest with you, it's not easy to stay relevant if you don't evolve.
Mm.
They are balancing it very well. They stay modern, but a lot of the food still tastes like how it tastes back then.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for the experience, because when I go back there, I was transported back to when I was an apprentice. I'm like 37 when I started. I was like 14 years old. So back then, restaurants had a different mindset, a different way of service.
Yeah.
And I really, really miss that. So if those of you who are my dad who are in the industry, I want to relieve that feel, like, please, please go pay a visit to Shashlik. You will not regret it.
Yeah, and as Chef Melvin says, I think it's really one of the first places here in Singapore to introduce the concept of fusion, East and West coming together. So that's Shashlik restaurant. It's kind of like Russian food with a Hainanese twist, and you'll find it on the 6th floor, Unit 19, Far East Shopping Centre. Thanks so much, Melvin, for joining me for
this episode.
And be sure to catch our actual full episode on Channel 5 as well as MeWatch. You can even check it out on CNA Lifestyle. I've written a story all about our experience.
For more delicious details, check out Gold 905's Facebook page, download the podcast on our free Me Listen app, and watch the video on CNA Lifestyle.
Gold 905, Makan Kaki. Because good friends share good food.